This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley. Let's dig deep and grow strong. And now, here's Jeff.
Hey, I'm so glad that you've joined me today. We're going to talk about something really exciting. We're going to talk about Jesus being the way and how he is the way for you in every way. He takes you to places that you can never go by yourself. And I'm going to give you some really encouraging words about that here in just a couple of minutes. But first of all, if you're listening to this podcast, I'd like to encourage you to subscribe to the podcast. And the way you do that is just hit that little subscribe button that's on your podcast app or wherever you're listening. If you can go to podomatic.com and type in Vintage Truth, and this podcast will come up. Or you can subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're seeing this podcast. And what that does for you is that it basically just gives you a heads up on when a new episode is released, and it'll automatically download that to your iTunes app or whatever you have, the podcast app. So go click that. Also, if you would like to support this podcast ministry, you can do so by going to jeffkinley.com and click on that donate tab. And that'll take you directly to a page where you can just, it's real easy. With a couple of clicks, you're there. And if you'd like to do that, that would be greatly appreciated if this podcast has been something you, and maybe God's leading you to support this podcast $10 a month or $20 a month or whatever it is God leads you to do. Or maybe you'd like to give a one-time donation. Either way, it helps out. And I've got a handful of people that are behind this ministry. And let me tell you something. It takes a family of believers to really make something like this happen. And you are one of the reasons why this podcast is so successful, is because you're helping spread the word about it. So I really appreciate you doing that, because I am here for you. I'm here to help you in your Christian life. And though we may not ever meet, just know that we are connected over the common truth of God's word and also the common faith that we have in Jesus Christ. So that is exciting. Okay, we're going to talk about Jesus today and how he is the way. And you probably know one of the verses I'm going to cover here, but I want to talk about Jesus as the way in three aspects, okay? We're going to talk about Jesus being the way in, Jesus being the way up, and Jesus being the way out, okay? We'll see how far we get in this thing, okay? First of all, let's talk about Jesus Christ being the way in. You know, it begins in Matthew chapter 7. Where Jesus is in his famous Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about going to heaven. and he says in verse 13, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction." And he says, many are those who find that way, that broad way. Then he says, "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." See, Christ is simply highlighting what you and I are seeing in our world today. And this is a truth that I think we need to remind ourselves of as Christians, is that the world is not Christian. The world is in the clutches of Satan. It's in the clutches of the evil one. And because of that very truth, we are by definition the minority, okay? When we talk about minorities, Christians are the minority. And the Bible says here in Jesus' own words that many people will walk on the broad way that leads to destruction. You see, there's a broad gate that leads to a broad way. And the overwhelming vast majority of humanity is walking on that way. All you have to do is open up your Twitter feed, open up Instagram, open up Facebook, you know, open up your television, listen to your radio, whatever, even Spotify, whatever, just listen and watch and look, and you can see that the vast majority of people are on that broad way. Now, let's be very clear, because Christ was very clear. Those people are going to hell. They're going to destruction. And it's because of the fact they were born in sin, and they choose to sin, and they have a sin nature, and they have Satan's hordes of demons that are working against them becoming Christians. Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that he is blinding people's eyes, it says, to the gospel, and also the world itself, the cosmos, the spirit of the age. And that's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to the world. What he meant by that was that we are not to adopt the values of the world. It's not talking about food or music. It's not talking about, you know, how we dress in terms of, you know, the style of our dress kind of thing. It's mainly referring to values that the world promotes. Right now, the world is promoting some amazingly ungodly values, twisting Christian values and turning them inside out to make them sound good and just and moral and upright and all that. It's the broad way that leads to death. The contrast, Jesus says, this is why Jesus is the way in, because we're talking about going through a gate. He says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, that leads to eternal life. And he says, few are going to find that way. I mean, comparatively speaking to the vast amount of humanity, the number of Christians are small, comparatively speaking. And yet there are millions and millions and millions of Christians, obviously, but compared to all of humanity and history and who's on the earth right now, small, narrow, few. That's all we see in, like, the Gospel of John, where Jesus had 20,000 people following him, and he narrowed it down to just a handful out of 20,000. So all that to say is he's the way in. And then, of course, the famous verse that you're probably already thinking of in John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus Christ was making a very exclusive claim, a claim so bold that eventually it would be what would get him killed, is his claim to be God. And do you realize in that verse alone, Jesus Christ is saying you cannot get to God through Buddha or Muhammad or Confucius or Zoroastrianism or meditation or anything related to Islam or any of the cults out there like Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, or anything else other than purely through Jesus Christ and who he is? It's the only way you can get to heaven. Only through the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ can you become a Christian. By placing your faith in the penalty that Christ paid for your sin, can you become a Christian? And I didn't make that up, okay? So you say, well, that's being exclusivistic. That's being bigoted. Hey, call it whatever you want. Don't care. You know why? Because Jesus said it. You want to get mad at somebody? Get mad at Jesus. He's the one that said, you don't get to heaven unless you come through me. And you know what? He didn't say that to be mean. He said that to be loving, because then he backed it up by dying on the cross for you, and then he rose from the dead to prove that. So Jesus Christ is the way in. He's the way into heaven. He's the way into a relationship with God. And there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except through Jesus Christ. In fact, that's exactly what Acts chapter 4 says. Acts 4 and verse 12. This is Peter speaking there. He's speaking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by what has been given among men by which we must be saved. And by the way, the very next verse says that Peter spoke that with great confidence. And you need to speak it with confidence too. And don't be afraid of what the world's going to say, because you need to expect the fact that the whole world's going to be against you on this. People are not going to stand up and applaud you when you say Jesus Christ is the only way. What makes you think your religion is the only right one? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus Christ claimed to be God. He claimed to be the only way. It is the only religious leader in the history of the world who ever died for our sins and then rose again on the third day to prove that his payment on the cross was real and validated by God and proved himself to be God. So only Christ made that claim and backed it up, and no other major religious leader ever made any such a claim. So Jesus Christ is the way in. So let me ask you, do you know him? Have you believed in Christ? Have you trusted in him with your heart? Have you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Have you said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need salvation through you? And if you've not done that, I urge you to make sure that you've done that. It's very important because of the other things we're going to talk about. And here's the second thing. Christ is not just the way in to God. He's also the way up. You say, well, Jeff, what do you mean by that? I mean that Jesus Christ calls us up to a new kind of life. And let me share with you what he said about what that life is all about. In John 10, verse 10, he says this. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Everybody seen that principle playing itself out here recently? I don't know, maybe in every major city in the country right now where thieves are stealing, killing, and destroying. Well, Christ says, that ain't me. He says, I came that they may have life and might have it abundantly. Because I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now watch this. Jesus Christ came to give you a new quality of life. He did not come to give you, quote unquote, your best life now. That's heresy. If your best life is right now, then heaven's going to be a disappointment to you. Because your best life is waiting for you in heaven, my friend. Your best life is not right now. And the goal of life is not to be the best version of yourself and to simply enjoy life and to be happy all the time and to have money in the bank all the time. That is not the purpose of life. The purpose of life, according to Jesus, is to enjoy a new kind of life that only he can provide. It's called abundant. It means it's full. It means that it has meaning and significance in life. That's what he comes to bring us. In fact, in Matthew 10, and chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus says, he's talking about what that life looks like. See if this sounds like your best life now. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Oops. In other words, if you're not willing to come and to die for Christ and to die to yourself and to love him above all others, which is what he said in verse 37, you can't come. You can't be his disciple. And he said, Jeff, what's that mean? I mean, well, the very next verse tells us is he who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. In other words, if you try to hang on to your life and be in charge of your life and just serve yourself, he says, at the end, you're going to lose. You're going to be the biggest loser. And by the way, those people that are trying to combine Christianity with this whole idea of keeping your own life and trying to just, you know, live life to its fullest, just serve yourself completely right now. Those people that are doing that kind of thing, that are listening to their own hearts and following their own passions and their own thoughts and those kinds of things, they're going to have the biggest oh poop moment of their life when they die. Because they're going to discover, especially as people think they're Christians in doing this, they're going to discover that life was not all about just you and seeing how many likes you could have on social media. Life was about losing your life for the sake of Christ and to realize that, as Paul said, for me to live as Christ, to die as gain, Philippians 1:21. And Jesus is outlining the principle here that if you try to hang on to yourself, hang on to your life, control your life, make sure you're happy all the time, control your circumstances, and basically trust in yourself, he says that person is going to lose their life. But if you lose your life for my sake, he says, you're going to find it. What is it? You're going to find your life. You're going to find out what real life is all about. And that's that whole John 10:10 thing. Let me give you another verse where God tells us about what this life looks like. And Paul talks about it in the book of Philippians in chapter 2. Now listen to this. See if this sounds like living for yourself. Chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. That describes about half the world right there. But with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. He's talking about the church, by the way, people in the church. Do not merely look out for your own interests, your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So part of understanding what real life in Jesus is all about is by being others' focus. You know, someone once made up the old acrostic joy, Jesus, others, yourself. That's pretty good. And it really talks about just an order of priorities about how we get to serve others in our lives. I mean, how much joy do you get from serving others? From just knowing that you've been faithful to God to serve others. Now, you don't always get feedback from that. You don't always get a spiritual kickback from that. You don't always get a reward from that now. But sometimes you do. And sometimes you get to see how serving others not only helps you become obedient to God, and you have that joy of obedience, but you also have the joy of knowing that you actually help someone out. You actually put someone else before yourself. It doesn't mean that you don't ever think about yourself, not selfishly, but you do meet your own self needs. But he says, don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And who's our model for that? Duh. It's Jesus who showed us the way up, right? He came not to be served, the Gospels tell us, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Look at what he says in the very next verse Paul does. He says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. It's the doctrine of the kenosis. That's what that word is here. Emptied himself. Now, it doesn't mean he wasn't God anymore. It simply means that he laid aside certain heavenly privileges that he enjoyed before he came to the earth and privileges he would enjoy afterwards. Like, for example, Christ as the God-man chose to not know everything, even the day of his return, but he depended upon the Father. Jesus was not in every place at once. Jesus was not constantly being worshiped in his presence by angels. Jesus did not always exercise all of his divine attributes in the way that he does right now. Why? Because it says he emptied himself and he took the form, verse 7 says, of a bondservant. Whoa. He didn't come to the earth and say, all right, everybody, I'm the king, worship me. He came to serve. And it says, being made in the likeness of men, in other words, he was just like us in every single way physically and mentally, although he had the mind of God, but he still learned things. That's why in Luke 2:52, by the way, it says he grew in stature, he grew in physical stature, in wisdom and in favor with God and man. So Jesus Christ did develop, he did grow. But listen to this, it says verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. So whoa, stop right there. So Christ was willing to die as a bondservant for you. But it wasn't just death. It says even death on a cross, which was the most heinous, brutal, barbaric way to die in the first century. It would be like someone just lynching someone today, hanging them on the city square, beating them to death. We've seen videos of this, of people just being literally beat to death. Heads caved in with bricks, people beat over the head with rods, people shot to death, people having their clothes torn off. We've seen all this stuff, this brutal, barbaric, satanic way. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. He was willing to die that way for you and me. And that's why verse 9 says, therefore, God has also highly exalted him and bestowed upon him in the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you realize that every one of these anarchists, every one of these criminals, every one of these people, these self-righteous people in the world today, every person who does not go through that small, narrow gate and walk on the narrow way, they will bow their knee one day and confess, admit, be forced because of the presence of God and their own sin to admit that Jesus is Lord. But my friend, during that time, it's going to be too late for them. There'll be no second chance for them. But here's what God's saying. Jesus is the way up because he calls us to be servants just like him. He calls us to be willing to sacrifice for others, for the sake of others, so that others can know Jesus Christ. My friend, that's the most exciting way to live your life, is to live up you live up. And the way you live up is live down. In other words, you'd humble yourself and bow yourself and be willing for God and be willing to serve others. When that happens, just like Jesus, God's going to exalt you at the proper time. That's what Peter says. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time. Jesus is the way in. He's the way up. Next time, we're going to talk about Jesus being the way out.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.